This is the State of Things broadcasting from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. Romare Bearden left Charlotte, North Carolina when he was just 3 years old. His family moved to Harlem as part of the Great Migration. Eventually, Bearden became recognized as one of the most talented and important artists of the 20th century. He was famous for his vibrant collages, paintings, and prints depicting African-American life. And though he lived in New York, North Carolina left a lasting mark on his work. Now a collection of his work is on view at Green Hill Gallery in Greensboro. It showcases his curiosity about Southern history and family life. And today we're joined by three Bearden experts to talk about his legacy. Laura Way is Executive Director of Green Hill Center for North Carolina of Art. Laura, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Allison Fleming is Associate Professor and Chair of the Department of Art and Visual Studies at Winston-Salem State University. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you.
And Belinda Tate, Director of Diggs Gallery at Winston-Salem State. It's a space dedicated to the arts of Africa and the African diaspora in North Carolina. Belinda, welcome, and welcome to all of you. Nice to have you on the State of Things. Laura, tell us about how this collection of Bearden's work made it to Green Hill.
Well, last year I met the owner of all of these incredible Romare Bearden's. His name is Lou Milano. He lives in Naples, Florida. And he approached me. He is at a point in his life where he would like to sell his collection. His children have their art that they care about, and he wasn't prepared to give it to a museum. So he asked if we would help him and facilitate this sale. And I said, it took me about 2 minutes to think about it, and I said, if we could do an exhibition and educational programming around it so that it tied to our mission of supporting and advocating for North Carolina art and artists, we could make this work. So since August, I have been slowly working my way to this point of having an exhibition, which opened April 15th, and it runs through June 22nd, of having this incredible collection of prints, one pen and ink drawing, and one collage. We put together a terrific educational panel, and just today there were little kids running through the gallery at Green Hill learning about Romare Bearden, so it's working.
What an amazing thought. I mean, the idea that you would take the work of an artist who is well known and who we're used to seeing hanging on the walls of a museum in a gallery where they will be for sale, right?
Yes, all of them are for sale.
Well, this is an incredible. So, Allison, give us a sense of, because Bearden did spend most of his life in New York. Tell us about his backstory in North Carolina and leaving here.
Bearden was born in Mecklenburg County, and he lived here for the first few years of his life. I think you mentioned earlier that he moved to New York with his family as part of the Great Migration, about 1914. And a lot of people today think about Bearden as an artist that's associated with Harlem and the sort of urban scene many of his works evoke, the feeling of urban areas like Harlem. But he was born here, and throughout his life, even after he left, he had an affinity for North Carolina. He once said, "I never left Charlotte except physically." And he continued even after he moved north with his family, and he lived in New York, he lived in Pittsburgh, and really became associated with the North. He still continued to visit Charlotte. He would come back to visit family, his grandparents, his great-grandparents. And many of his works, and if you go to Green Hill and look at these prints, you'll see many of his works that evoke the spirit of North Carolina and the American South. And there are, in my mind, always descriptions that bear made of his grandparents' house in Charlotte that I think about when I look at these prints, and I think about him talking about their house and the, you know, red clay road and the trains that passed in the background and the people that he knew, and that really comes across in his art.
And we are going to talk about some of these certainly as our conversation continues, but Belinda, I want to hear more about the artist and his work. We talk about the way he reflected Harlem and some of those urban scenes, but also very interested in working in the art scene and being a facilitator of the arts, not just reflecting the scene, but helping to build it, right, in many ways.
Absolutely. Bearden grew up in a home that was very stimulating intellectually. Writers, actors, activists were always the guest of his parents. His mother worked with the Board of Education in New York, and so there were all sorts of philosophical ideas flowing through his household. And in the 1960s, he felt that it was important to put together a group of African-American artists to address aesthetic issues as a way to assist in the struggle for civil rights. And he was the leader of the group of well-known artists who include Hale Woodruff, Charles Alston, Merton Simpson, Richard Mayhew, Emma Amos, and others. And together, each of these artists found their own unique way to add to the landscape of American art.
And not only graphic arts, but also, of course, very interested in jazz and jazz composition. Maybe I'll ask you to talk about this print, which is called Out Chorus, Belinda.
Well, Bearden was a musician, and he actually wrote a song called Sea Breeze, which was recorded by Billy Eckstine and Dizzy Gillespie. His art was experiential and experimental in the same way that jazz was, and he loved the improvisational nature of jazz and often reflected that in his work. So just as jazz was innovative and left a lasting legacy, so does the work of Romare Bearden.
And what is it about this work? Maybe, Allison, I'll put this question to you, just in terms of the craftsmanship, the way this piece is composed, that does what Belinda talks about, this idea that you're reflecting in the very composition of this piece, the notion of jazz, improvisation, and swing.
Absolutely. The print, Out Chorus, is a very complex print. It's one that's created using a couple different techniques. It is an etching, an aquatint, and a screen print. And so what you are looking at is something that is created through a very complex and painstaking process. Each one of these different printmaking techniques is going to give you a different effect. So ultimately, we end up with this print that has a lot of different textures. There is the layering of different lines and shades. You're going to have a lot of different gradations in tone and shadowing. And so you get, in each printmaking technique, a different effect. And here you see them all combined together. And as Belinda pointed out, it really speaks to that improvisational nature of jazz and the idea of, you know, constantly reworking old ideas and making them new again. And this is something that Bearden is really known for. And in particular, you see it in the prints.
And it's interesting that we talk about prints because they're not always sort of at the highest level of appreciation in the art world because they are reproductions. But he really was quite mindful about how he was going to do those reproductions, right?
He did, and he worked with a number of master printmakers who had workshops in New York and in the Northeast, and each one of these printmakers had a different specialization in lithography, in silk screen, in etching, aquatint, all sorts of different techniques that Bearden embraced. And he was very interested in collaboration. And I think that what Belinda just had to say about the Spiral Group and the idea of, you know, really sort of building these, you know, networks of artists and coming together with common ideas and collaborating with other artists was really important to Bearden. And it was yet another way of this sort of improvisation and reworking of ideas.
Laura, will you tell us a little bit about this print? This is called The Conversation.
Well, I'm going to leave it to Belinda and Allison to talk about the technical aspects of this. But this print, I've had the Romare Bearden prints in my office since late August, and this print has become one of my very favorite prints because there, to me, it's about the story. It's telling a story. These two women are standing close together. Women were so important to his work, and they're depicted in almost all of the prints that we have at Green Hill right now. They're that secret conversation. You can just picture these two women. It's in beautiful color, the blues and the yellow and the train in the background, which is repeated throughout much of his work, the train and the idea of the train from the Great Migration north, taking the train out of the south. Gainful employment was for a black man was often with the train, and then the rooster and the leaves. It evokes a feeling that we can all recognize, but it's telling his particular story of his family's background and how they lived.
Tell us more, Belinda, about some of these recurring themes in Bearden's work. The role of women, the way women are reflected, and these trains, transportation, getting to and from.
Well, themes of family and unity and cooperation are often reflected in Bearden's work. Family was very important to him, and he actually traveled from New York to Charlotte quite frequently to visit his grandparents and extended relatives there. He's first cousins with Charles Alston. They served in the military together during World War II and often collaborated as artists as well. So these themes are very important to him. The train is a recurring image in Bearden's work. It's an image that does represent the Great Migration, industrialization, economic opportunity, but also separation and unity. The train took families apart and brought them back together again. And I think that circular nature of things is often reflected in Bearden's work.
We're talking about the work of Romare Bearden, a display of some of his prints on display at Greenhill Gallery in Greensboro, in a conversation today at the Upstage Cabaret in downtown Greensboro. Allison, one of the things that we didn't talk about yet is, in terms of his biography, is the fact that he was a social worker before he became known as an artist. Tell us more about that.
He was. Bearden graduated from New York University in, I think, 1935, mid-1930s, in the middle of the Depression. And he immediately went to work for the Department of Social Services in New York. And he worked as a social worker for his entire career, except for a stint where he left to, as Belinda mentioned, serve in the Army in World War II. And another stint, he went on the GI Bill to study at the Sorbonne in Paris in 1950. And throughout over three decades of his life in New York, he spent working full-time as a social worker, and he worked particularly with the gypsy population in New York. And even in the 1960s, as he began to really make a name for himself as an artist, he first went to kind of part-time status as a social worker. He didn't actually retire fully until 1969. So it's really only in the last slightly less than two decades of his life that he worked full-time as an artist, but throughout his entire life, he maintained a studio. He created works at night, on the weekends, while holding down this full-time job that provided him with a steady career, steady income, all those good things that people love, even artists, but created his art on his own time.
Having a day job and becoming one of the most important artists of the 20th century. Belinda, we talked about his importance in terms of reflecting African-American communities, building collaboratives and networks of African-American art. But he was known throughout the world as one of the finest and most important and significant artists of the 20th century. Tell us more.
I think Bearden would say that his works addressed universal themes. He was very interested in expressing our common humanity through his works, and he wanted us as a society to recognize that there are strengths in our similarities and what we value as a society. He was known as, and still is today, known as America's greatest collagist. And I think it was because very early on he was willing to take risk in his artwork. He started experimenting with new print media as it emerged in the magazine industry and other areas. Other artists really steered away from those types of materials because at the time this form, this art form and this media was not really recognized as a vehicle for high art. But he was willing to take those chances, and what he created was absolutely incredible. I think he leaves a very large legacy in the realm of art history, and I'm so proud of the city of Charlotte for being able to recognize him through the Romare Bearden Park that was created just a few years ago in 2011, I believe.
Who were the artists who influenced him?
He was influenced by many artists. I would say Aaron Douglas, I would say his cousin, Charles Austin. I would say also some of the Mexican muralists, Diego Rivera and Jose Clemente as well.
Let's talk about another one. And you talked about these universal themes, areas of commonality, places where we could all meet. And Allison, I'd like you to talk about this print called The Family.
The Family is a fairly early print of Bearden's. It dates to 1975, and it's probably the print that a lot of people associate with really making Bearden's name in the realm of prints. As Belinda mentioned, collage was really what he was known for prior to that time, and still really largely is known for today. But The Family is a print that was published as part of a collection of the work of a number of printmakers to celebrate the American Bicentennial in 1976. And this brought it to the attention of a lot of people. And this is certainly one of the great things about prints. Well, there are disadvantages in terms of the fact they're created in multiples, and sometimes this makes people think of them as lesser than, say, something like painting. But prints have the ability to reach a very wide audience. They are going to be disseminated quite widely. People all across the United States saw the print of The Family, evoking this family preparing for a meal. It certainly has these themes of community and intimacy that you find in many of Bearden's works. And it is a print that is going to then really sort of make Bearden's name as a printmaker, and in many ways then going to usher in a period of great printmaking in the late 1970s. And if you were go to Green Hill to see the prints that are on display, what you'll find is that many of them date to the late 1970s. That was probably the great flourishing of printmaking in his career. This is maybe the print that kind of sets the stage for many of those works.
Now, what we can't see so well in this black and white reproduction is the woman in the off in the shadows on the left-hand side. And that's, again, tell us more about the importance of that.
There is a nude figure on the far left in the background. So in the foreground, you see this family seated around the table preparing their meal. But this idea of a nude figure is something that you see in a number of works by Bearden. And it is not always something that you readily understand who this woman is and what she's doing. But in a way, it really sort of elevates the scene beyond just simply a kind of genre scene of this family in their domestic interior, and places it into the category of works where there's an element that we don't always completely understand and raises the work to a different level.
I'll give you all here permission at the Upstage Cabaret to pull out your iPhones, because you can see these prints in color on our website. You can do that at home as well. You don't have to be here to do that. But we do have them here, and of course, even better, go to Green Hill, and you can see them there, and even, I guess, Bywin. Laura, how important, what does it mean to have this exhibit there and to have his work at Green Hill? How has it changed things for you?
This has been tremendous for Green Hill. We don't typically show artists who are no longer with us, deceased artists, but Ramir Bearden has opened an opportunity for us that we really have not had before. It's the most significant show we've had of a black artist, an African-American artist, and it has opened up new audiences to us. It's been a tremendous benefit, and it's really changed the way I think about our exhibition program, to make sure that we are always thinking about being accessible, which Bearden's work is, being diverse, and really being a place where people can come and have meaningful conversations with art as the catalyst. And we do that on a daily basis, but there's been something about Ramir Bearden in the gallery that has changed for me, sort of that educational component that can happen in a gallery. There's nothing like art to spark a conversation, and we've had some incredible conversations that have started because of Ramir Bearden.
Well, thank you very much for bringing one of those conversations to us today. Thanks so much for being with us. Laura Way is Executive Director of Green Hill Center for North Carolina Art. Allison Fleming, an Associate Professor and Chair of the Department of Art and Visual Studies at Winston-Salem State. And Belinda Tate, Director of Diggs Gallery at Winston-Salem State. Up next, we're going to talk about a play that explores the battle between good and evil in the Appalachian Mountains. But first, another preview of the show's music with musicians Laura Lynn Dossett and Riley Boggess.